Tonight we're in Micah chapter 6, verse 9 to chapter 7, verse 10. God's second indictment and the remnant's hope. Micah, who was a Judean from Moresheth in southwest of Palestine, preached to the common people of Judah. The message of Micah's prophecy was that God's coming judgment for Judah's sin would be unavoidable and severe, but in the end his Abrahamic covenant would be honored and Israel would be blessed. God's second and more detailed indictment of Israel and Micah's second more detailed reply is given with a summary victorious hope, Micah 6, 9 to 7, 10. So we view the passage for our insight and our application. I'd like to read the passage, even though it's a bit long, and we'll cover it. Micah chapter 6, verse 9 to 7, 10. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, the man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear ye the rod who has appointed it. Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also I will make thee sick and smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest I will give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but not reap. Thou shalt tread out the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but thou shalt not drink it. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, and I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. Then Micah answers, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleaners of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood, and they hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh not for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright man is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonors the father, and daughter rises up against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. God's second indictment of Israel for her violation of the Mosaic covenant is more detailed, and it's more intense than his first indictment because it mentions specific great sins of the people. And of course, it's going to be met with a second response from the prophet Micah, and it'll be more intense as well. First of all, Micah urged the people to listen as the Lord was calling them to heed his correction, that it was wise to revere the name of the Lord so as to heed the rod of his discipline. That would be the invading of Babylonians, and to heed the Lord who had appointed that rod to invade Judah. Micah then testified of God's words, that he was upset at his people's ill-gotten gains by way of false ephahs, scales, and weights, and cheating customers in their marketplace transactions. You know, it's interesting. God is, he watches closely everything that happens. And when there's financial cheating that goes on, boy, that's a tremendous irritation to him, because that's caused by greed. And greed, in God's mind, according to Colossians, is a form of idolatry. So that's why greed is something that God really has a problem with. Well, Micah then testified of God's words, that he was upset at his people's ill-gotten gains. Well, Israel's rich men were violent. Their people were liars and speaking deceitfully. Accordingly, God had already begun to destroy them, to ruin them financially because of their sins of greed, so that they would eat but not be satisfied, they would store up but save nothing, for God would give what they had saved up to the Babylonian soldiers who would bear the sword. The people of Judah would plant but not harvest. They would press olives for oil but not use it. They would crush grapes but not drink the wine because all of it would be seized by the invaders. The people had heeded the apostate statutes of Omri and the practices of the evil house of Ahab, so God would give them over to ruin, their people to derision and scorn by the invasion and captivity. Well, following the second and detailed and intensive divine indictment, the prophet Micah, representing the godly remnant, lamented and confessed the utter depravity of the nation. I have a lot of respect for Micah. I've been studying him this time a little more closely, but he's very intense, and he talks about how the sins of Israel were bothering him, and yet he comes out of it very positively. He's looking to God to help the nation marvelously. First of all, Micah explained that he felt miserable, that he was like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard, but there are no clusters of grapes and no early figs. He's likening the product here to the people. He's looking for righteous people. But he's looking for righteous people, and he's not finding any. To explain, Micah reported that the godly, like the desired harvest of fruit, had been swept from the land, that not one upright man remained. In other words, he would go through the society in Judah, and he couldn't find anybody who was upright. The whole country was really, really twisted and distorted. Everyone planted and plotted to murder and to entrap his neighbor. Both hands of the people were skilled in doing evil. Normally a person is left-handed or right-handed, but when he says both hands are skilled, he's talking about people being ambidextrous with evil. So both hands of the people were skilled in doing evil, for rulers demanded gifts to effect their rulings, and judges accepted bribes to pervert justice, so that the powerful in society dictated whatever they desired by conspiring together to take advantage of the vulnerable, lowly people in society. It's a lot like what happens in today. You've got people who are in what they call the good old boys network, and there, a lot of leaders are in business and the government are cooperating with one another to do a number on middle class and lower class people. It's tragic. Well, the best of men were like briars, the most upright worse than a hedge of thorns, hurting other people. That's what the thorns do. They pierce and they're irritations. Well, accordingly, God was about to punish them with the day of their watchman, when the watchman would cry out to announce the dismaying and perplexing news of an invading army. Basic social institutions had turned toxic and dangerous. One's neighbor, friend, and even spouse could not be trusted. Sons flattered their fathers in order to manipulate them, showing that there wasn't respect for fathers. Daughters rose up against their mothers. Daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law. One's foes were the people of his own household. You know, this is where the family structure was so corrupt that you couldn't even trust the people that you were living with in the same house. It had gone this bad. So you can see, it's amazing God that hadn't judged them earlier. He hadn't punished them earlier. The deterioration of the family structure was complete at this particular point. But this is where Micah comes in. Yet speaking in behalf of the godly remnant, Micah expressed great hope in God's deliverance. Micah claimed that he would watch and hope for the Lord his Savior to hear his prayer for help. You know, you've been talking about a watchman who is going to be calling out to the people, warning that the Babylonians are coming, but he's going to watch for God. Now, God's prophet clarified that though God's punishment was due and that it would come, God would yet deliver him and the faithful from sin so that their foes would no longer gloat over them. Indeed, the enemies of Judah would be covered in shame and trampled underfoot in Judah's restoration. That's quite a hope, because right now, at this particular time in his life, everybody in Judah was corrupt. People couldn't even trust the other family members that they had. Husbands couldn't trust wives. Wives couldn't trust the husbands. Everybody's out after everybody else. And it looked like the society was doomed even to cease existing. But God had plans because of the Abrahamic covenant. And so God was going to save him. He's going to bring them out through this. And so Micah looked forward to the time when God was going to deliver them and help them and restore them, and that the enemies of Israel who were hurting Israel would be trampled underfoot. That's amazing. This man had a lot of faith. You know, we refer to these minor prophets as minor prophets, but they're not minor in God's eyes. These are great men. They love the Lord, and many times they stood alone, and they stood firmly for the Lord. So the lesson is the dreadful sins of God's people would be greatly punished by God, but he would yet graciously justify and restore his people to righteousness and blessing, along with defaming and destroying the enemies of Israel. So in application, may we realize that if sin is left unchecked, it will destroy even basic institutions in society, even family and marital unions. However, may we also rely on the Lord to deliver us from sinful failures that destroy social and family and marital ties, providing God's righteousness, restoration, and blessing. You know, it's amazing how God can help. I've referred to this a number of times. I went to a home one night. I had been asked to come, and it was a husband and wife that were in the home. They were professing Christians, and they said, tomorrow we're going to call our divorce lawyers. And I thought, oh, no. I said, yep, we've had it with one another. But just in case we can possibly save this marriage, we called you over. I thought, oh, thank you. You know, so here I'm in the situation, and one sit over there, and one sitting in, and I was sitting on the couch. So what do you have to say, Pastor? And the Lord brought to mind a Galatians 5, 22 and 23, walk when it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. In Galatians 5, 16, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I said, okay. What's happening here is there's carnality. Somewhere there's carnality here, and that's what's creating this division. And if you walk by means of the Holy Spirit, you won't get a divorce. And because, first of all, divorce is very painful. Secondly, it's very expensive. I've never known of anybody that comes out of it financially. There's always a tremendous cost that's involved. There are lawyers and all that you have to go through. Then they got children and relatives. Oh, it's a mess. So I said, why don't you sit down on the couch and read this passage and apply it? Well, they recognized that they were carnal at the time, so they confessed it to the Lord, they prayed and everything. I said, all right, here's a vitamin pill. This is where the idea came up. Every time you have an argument, and the next time you think about getting the lawyers, sit down on the couch together and read this passage. Galatians 5, 16 to 23. Don't call me. Read the passage and apply it. So they did that. And they stayed married. And I was grateful for that. But it showed me what this passage says is so true. God is able to deliver from sinful failures that destroy social, family, and marital ties. He's able to do it. And he provides his righteousness, his restoration, and blessing. He's going to do it for the nation Israel someday, but he can do it today. So, if we ever run into difficulties where we think that all is lost, remember that sin has a tendency to destroy human relationships. Righteousness in God has a tendency to heal. So if we look to the Lord, we can apply the message that Micah has here. There is hope, but we've got to get the Lord involved, otherwise there's no hope.